I want to show you some lessons from the donkey. Amen. If Christians could just grasp a little bit of what nature has grasped and what nature will do, they would be so much more profitable to the master. Amen. If we could just grasp some things from this donkey that this donkey can show us, it would help us tremendously. I heard Brother Dean McNeese preach a message one time about the cows, the kine that pulled the cart that took the Ark of the Covenant from the Philistines back into Jerusalem. Great lessons in just that simple animal. We see the donkey, the ass that Balaam was riding on. In the great lessons that we can learn from that simple animal, as he was able to perceive what even Balaam himself, a supposed man of God, wasn't able to grasp. And this little donkey, this lowly donkey that we read about this morning, can teach us many great things. In verse 29 it says, "And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against it, or over against you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And when they were sent their way, and found even as he had said unto them, and as they were loosening the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And praise God, I'm glad, just like I said this morning, Brother Ernie had that song playing at the beginning of the service as we were milling around here. I don't know how many of you heard it, but the rocks shall not cry out in my place. Amen. 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 And the donkey can teach us a lesson tonight that no one else can do what we're called to do. Amen? God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. Just as this specific donkey was set at the specific place, at the specific time, and Jesus knew his disciples had never laid eyes on it and told them to go get him. I got something for him to do. He did so. Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace tonight? Some things that we learn about this little donkey. In verse 32 it says, And they that were sent went their way and found him, found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? The first thing that Christians need to remember, the first thing that Christians can see in the picture of this little donkey is that he was bound. He was bound. He was bound until Jesus sent for him. Do you know that you were bound in your sins and trespasses? But God, in his infinite love and infinite mercy, sent his Spirit unto you to minister unto you, to convince you and to convict you of your need for a Savior. I am an adamant believer that if there is no conviction, there can be no conversion, because you can't get saved until you get lost. Amen. Amen. You have to realize that you're bound by sin and you have a need, and praise God that He has sent His Son to pay the debt of sin and to set you free. The Apostle Paul was telling the Corinthian church about the superiority of the grace of God over the law, and about the power of the Spirit that ministers in our lives. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? And then he says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That little donkey being loosed at the Lord's command, I should remind us of the debt of gratitude that we owe unto the one who set us free. Amen. Number two, we see that in verse 35, and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. The donkey accepted those things that were placed upon him. You know, so many Christians in our walk, we get weary. So many Christians in our walk, we rebel. So many Christians in our walk don't want to go where God wants us to go, to do what God wants us to do. We don't want to bear that burden. Amen. This donkey bore the burden that had been placed upon it, and God has given us a responsibility. He has placed a burden upon each and every one of us, but sadly, so many of us don't want to carry that burden. We're commanded to go into the world. We're commanded to preach Christ and Him crucified. We're commanded to live a life that is in accordance with His Word, that's in accordance with His will, to be obedient unto His Spirit as He ministers to us. That donkey was willing to bear whatever had been placed upon it, but so many times God has something for us to do, and we don't want to do it, and we begin to buck, and we begin to refuse, and we begin to try to shrug it off, or even better than that, the Word is preached, and the Word it is placed upon our heart and brings conviction to our heart, and the first thing we want to do is try to shove it on back. Amen. That must be for somebody back there. That must be for somebody else. No, it's for you. Amen. It's for you. Look over in Revelations 2:2 if you want to follow along in the scriptures. In Revelations 2:2, Jesus said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and that thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Verse 3, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Praise God. That donkey accepted everything that had been placed on it. And you know, sometimes we wonder, does anybody see? It don't matter whether anybody else sees it. It don't matter whether anybody else knows it. The only one that matters is that God knows what you're doing. Amen. Amen. That's why I love this ministry back here, of dressing up like Star Wars and handing out tracts. No, I'm not going to pick on you tonight. Amen. You know why? Because nobody knows who they are. Amen. Nobody really cares who they are. But praise God, they have the opportunity. They have the opportunity to place a gospel tract in some individual's hand. Amen. That was attracted to the costume, was attracted to what they're doing. It's not about them. They don't get the glory and praise from it. And everybody say, hey, that was the Brooks family. Hey, that was Josh. And hey, that was Ron. And hey, that was Ron. And hey, that was Holly. And what do you do, Connie? Nothing. Amen. She's the encourager. Y'all get out there and do it. But praise God, people don't know it. Amen. But you know who does know it? Jesus knows it. Amen. People don't know who does all the work in the church. And some folks want everybody to know everything they do. It don't matter what you do. It don't matter who knows what you do or what you don't know. Jesus knows about it, and that's all that matters. He says, I know your works. I know that you haven't fainted under the labor. The donkey bore everything. The donkey carried everything that had been placed upon it. And in carrying everything, praise God, he carried Jesus. Amen. He had to be willing to carry the rest of it to carry Jesus. Amen. They placed their coats. They placed everything they could upon him before they set Jesus on him. Amen. He had to be willing to carry everything to be able to carry Jesus. Amen. Number three. You never seen all this in that little donkey, did you? Amen. Neither did I. Amen. He carried the Lord to the people. See, you can never carry the Lord to the people until you're willing to bear everything that is placed upon you. Amen. He carried the Lord to the people. They set Jesus thereon. The Bible says we're to go into the world. It says, go ye into the world and baptize people. Where? Everywhere. Amen. To all nations. We have a responsibility, not just in our homes, not just in our community. We have a responsibility to make sure that the gospel of Jesus reaches the whole world as much as is within us and as much as we're possible to do. Amen. That donkey carried Jesus to the people. Although he didn't account for much in most people's estimations, he wasn't even a full-grown donkey. He was wasn't even already trained and broken to be a beast of burden, but yet he was willing, as lowly as he was, to be used to carry Jesus to the people. Amen. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you willing tonight to be used to carry Jesus to the people? Amen. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take obedience. It's going to take submission. Amen. It's going to take getting out of your comfort zone. Amen. Man, he was perfectly at home, tied up where he was. He was perfectly comfortable there in familiar surroundings. He was perfectly comfortable there, no doubt, with mama nearby. But yet, when all these things were removed, he still bore Jesus. He still carried Jesus to the people. Amen. You know, that ought to be our desire. That ought to be our lives, no matter what it takes. If it takes dressing up in a costume, if it takes standing before the Lord and preaching, if it takes teaching a ladies' Bible study group, if it takes getting down to drug addicts or whatever it is, to some recovery program that you can teach Jesus through, if it takes getting into the jails and into the prisons, whatever it takes to carry Jesus to the people. We ought to have a heart to do it. And a submission to his will. Jesus could have got on him and turned around and went the other way. But that would have done no good. He carried Jesus to the people. And that's what we need to do. We need to carry Jesus to the people. We need to make sure that the people understand and know about Jesus. The Bible says, and when he was come nigh even now unto the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heavens and glory in the highest. You see, the one thing that we see about this donkey right here is he wasn't distracted by the commotion that was going on around him. Sometimes we get all wrapped up in emotion. Sometimes we get all wrapped up in commotion. Sometimes we get all wrapped up in everything and we lose sight of what it is that we're supposed to be doing. The donkey didn't get distracted. Amen. The whole world's going over here. Man, we need to try this for a while. The whole world's going over here. Well, maybe we need to try this for, you know how many things I get in the mail? How to make your church grow. Mute me for a minute, Ernie. Some of you will know. Some of you will get that one. Some of you know that. I ain't doing it. Hey, man. Come out next Sunday. We'll have breakfast for you. Sunrise. Hey, man. But if you do this, you can make your church grow. If you do that, you can make your church grow. If you allow us to come and show you how to introduce this program to your church, we can help you, show you how you can make your church grow. You know what? If Jesus doesn't make your church grow, all the programs and all the distractions and all the everything else they want to bring into your church isn't going to keep the people in your church. Amen. He didn't get distracted by the distractions. Amen. He didn't lose sight of his responsibility and his obligation and what he was brought there to do. That donkey kept on trudging on, although the shouting was going on around him, although the people were screaming and hollering, although they were throwing palm branches and stuff in the way that you could easily have got tripped up over and stumbled over. He did not get distracted. He kept going on. And folks, that's what we need to do. We need to keep going on. We need to keep sight of our goal. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And let's not get distracted. Everybody wants to see their church grow. But I told you when I started out here, I'd rather preach to three of you that were filled with the Spirit of God as a church than to have a church full of people that could care less. Amen? Now, I would like to preach to a church full of people that knew they were lost, weren't pretentious, weren't thinking they were somebody. You see, one of the problems we have in America today is everybody thinks they're on their way to heaven. But praise God, I'd like to get a hold of some of them old reprobates that need to hear the word of God. If they told me, said, look, we got a couple busloads of sitting out here of people that are lost and on their way to hell, I'd ask you all to get up and just go on if we needed the seats. Amen? Who needs it? They do. Amen? They do. They need to hear the word. They need to know about Jesus. But we need to quit getting distracted and losing sight of who this is all about. It's all about Jesus. That's the Rochester. That's the name of their All About Him Ministries. That's the title of their ministries. I think they made that their purpose. They made that their goal. They made that their desire. And that's why they are so successful in their ministry, is they're willing to make it all about Him. They haven't lost sight of the goal. They haven't got big. You know, they're good. They're very, very good. You know, they could go and probably go into secular bluegrass music and be just as popular as anybody out there, because they have the talent. But their ministry is all about Him. They haven't got distracted. We need to keep our focus. We need to keep our mindset on Him. Look at this. They set Jesus upon Him. And Jesus was the one who directed where He was going to go. Where was Jesus set on going? He was set on going to Jerusalem. Where was Jesus set on going? He was set on going to an old rugged cross. Where was Jesus set on going? He was set on going to a borrowed tomb. Amen. And He directed the path that this donkey was going to take. And the donkey followed the direction that Jesus gave him. You know why we wind up with so many calamities in our lives? while we find ourselves. Can you imagine? The Bible says that as they approached the descent of the Mount of Olives. Now, I don't know if that means they were going down or they were going up at this time. Whether they were getting ready to go down and go back up, or they were at the bottom of the descent getting ready to go up. Amen? It's not real clear. But you know what is clear? That donkey went where Jesus directed him. You know why so many Christians find ourselves in a problem? Because they were going up an ascent or down a descent, one or the other. And if you get off of the trail and you get off of the place to where you're supposed to be going, amen, and you're not paying attention to the direction that's given you, it's very easy to stumble and to fall. It's very easy to kill yourself. Man, I've seen pictures of them folks riding them mules down in the Grand Canyon. Some folks are sitting back there saying that. They're just shaking their head. Hey, man, looks like they got a path maybe about this wide or so. And they ride, huh? It's that big. Pam was one of them ones. And they say that mule is just as sure-footed as can be going down that path. But you know what happens? You know what would be my fortune? I would get on some mule, amen, that somebody had abused or had allowed to get hurt somehow, and he would be going down that little narrow path, and he would stumble, and I'd fall off the side of that cliff. That's why I ain't doing it, amen, because that's just the way things work out for me, you know. You go to the store to buy a part for a piece of equipment you got, for a car you got. I had a Ford truck, and mid-year Ford is real bad about changing models mid-year. And you'd go and you'd try to buy the right part, and they come back, and man, that was the wrong part. And the guy said, oh, you got one of those. That's the story of my life. Hey, man. You know, you go to buy a part. Oh, well, yours is different. You got one of those. Amen. You got one of those. Amen. That would be my fortune. I'd get on a mule and, you know, they'd be shouting at me on the way down. You got one of those. Amen. But that donkey followed the Lord's direction. So many Christians find themselves falling over the cliff and stumbling off the side, tripping and hurting themselves, injuring themselves, destroying their testimonies because they fail to follow the Lord's leadership. They fail to follow his direction. How great it would be if we could learn from a donkey to follow the Lord's direction, to follow the Lord's leadership. And the last thing that we can know about that donkey was that he finished the job, he finished the task at hand, the task that had been given to him. The Apostle Paul says over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He finished his task. The Apostle Paul finished his task. It wasn't easy at times, but he finished his task. He was scourged. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was forsaken. He was left for dead. So many things happened to him, but he didn't get distracted, and he finished his task. Have you finished what the Lord has set you here to do? Amen. Are you telling everybody you can about Jesus? Are you witnessing? Is your life a testimony? Is your life a living epistle known and read of all men? Have you finished your task? Have you started your task? God deals with us so many times about things and we put God off. Got a job for us and we put God off. God had a job for Jonah. Jonah run the other way. Jonah thought everything was all right. The storm was a-raging. The boat was about to sink. And old Jonah, he's laying down there in the boat asleep, oblivious to everything. Like so many Christians, we're oblivious to what's going on. And God has called us and God has given us a job to do. Each one of you, God has a job to do specifically that's tailored just to you. A job that no one else can do but you, because he's put you in the place where you are to do it. Esther had come to the kingdom for such a time as this. The Apostle Paul, a man who had breathed out threatenings and terror unto the church, God had put in the place where he put him for such a time as this. God has put you where he's put you for the reason that he's put you there. And are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Have you started your task? And if you've started your task, have you got distracted and lost sight of your track, your task, your path, the track that you're to be taking? Are you finishing the work that God has for you to do? Paul said, I finished. You know, Paul already wanted to go home. Paul already wanted to leave. He already knew what his heart's desire was, but he also knew what God had for him to do. And when God was done with him, he said, I finished. I don't know about you, but I want to finish well. Amen? I want to finish, but I don't want to just finish. I want to finish completing the task that God has given me to do. I want to preach as long as God wants me to preach. I want to teach as long as God wants me to teach. I want to try to sing as long as God allow me and wants me to try to sing. I want to do what God wants me to do as long as he wants me to do it. See, that donkey completed his task. Have you completed yours? Are you completing yours? Or have you even started yours? The simplest of things God teaches us the most profound things. This donkey reminds us that it was Jesus who called for us. It was Jesus who set us free. It reminds us that we are to accept the things that are placed upon us. That we're to carry the Lord to the people. A lost and a dying world needs to hear about Jesus. Reminds us not to be distracted by the commotion, by the things that are going on. Paul was in a storm, a euloceron. The Bible tells us a horrible storm, probably like a hurricane. He looks at the rest of the folks around him and says, "Sirs, be of good cheer. Because the angel of the Lord, of whose I am, has appeared to me tonight and told me that I must appear before Caesar, and that he's given me all those that sail with me." You see, Paul didn't get distracted, not even by the storm. He was at peace, knowing that God was in control. The donkey shows us, and the donkey teaches us, and the donkey convinces us to let Jesus direct our paths, and the donkey encourages us to finish the task that is set before us. So we stand to our feet tonight.